Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian!
Bad guys of the galaxies, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke Bryan.
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that. You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Welcome to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke.
He's Brian.
How's it going, big guy?
I am completely distracted from the outset.
Something completely different.
I know this never happens.
So,
Kristen had Joel Clayfish on earlier.
Okay, Kristen. Thanks a lot for distracting the big guy before we go on air.
Which is fantastic, because Joel's a fantastic guy to have in the studio. He's great. But the guy brought food.
Oh, so you've got to have a plate made then.
So you she heated up.
Oh.
A
what's the extravagant
wild
dish today?
Wild goose barbecue. It's his own special recipe.
That's pretty fancy. Look at you, big guy. That's going to be waiting for you on these commercial breaks. You're going to have to smell it all the way until the break.
I don't know that it's going to make it to the commercial break, my friend. You may have to go on a rant. Don't worry, it won't last long. I'll try and savor it.
There you go. Just don't scarf down any of the bones. I don't know.
There's no bones.
No bones?
Shredded?
All right, there
Trust
you
me.
Go.
Listen, man.
Oh, see, but my favorite is duck on the bone, so I didn't know if the goose came on the bone as well. My apologies.
This is like a sandwich type of situation. Like, more like a like barbecue sandwich.
Kind of like pulled pork. Pulled goose.
That's the consistency.
Oh, well, folks, welcome to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Brian's going to be slightly distracted from the extravagant smells that will
it's
be coming
the smell that's
throughout
killing
the
me,
WAUK The Shaw 101 FM studios now. You may also be listening to this fine program across the Civic Media Network here in Madison. I'm broadcasting live from the Solidarity Realty Studios on Madison's Near West Side on Devil Radio 92.7 FM. You may also be listening in Amory on Lake Air, in Oshkosh on Oshkosh Air Support, where the Devil's Advocates were broadcasting live yesterday evening. If you missed that show, you can go check out the podcast, or you can catch the Devils live at the Atomic Koi in Fitchburg this afternoon. The show is also broadcasting in Wisconsin Rapids on locally grown radio and on radio from the center, WRCE 1450 AM 107.7 FM. If you want to join the show, share your tangent with us, 844-967-2789. Those phone lines are open all hour long. And we will be joined by Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area a little bit later in the show, talking about Wisconsin headlines. And Brian, I gave you your excellent chance. We've got so many different stations. You could have went and ate the sandwich, but you didn't.
I know. I'm getting
you're distracted
prepared.
By something else. Okay,
distracted by something else. Because
fair enough.
I'm distracted actually by our opening topic, the news of the day.
The news of the day. Well, to let everybody know, first off, early voting, in-person absentee voting has begun today in Wisconsin. That is the biggest news. If you take nothing else away from this show, you can now go and vote early in person at your local different locations across your local municipality. So go to myvote.wi.gov to learn more about in-person early absentee voting. 2 weeks away. Election day, 2 weeks away.
Let's get to today.
The headlines that may affect those political decisions on how you vote sometime between now and the election day that is 2 weeks from today. 14 days, if you ask me. 13 days, if you ask Kristen Bry, who hosts As Goes Wisconsin, and now has distracted Brian a little bit to kick off our show today.
I feel like there's a little bit of both, you know, joy and malice in that. And I think
a little bit of both.
I'll take that type of
there you go.
Abuse. That's
yeah, it is.
Oh, no,
it's
abuse
intriguing.
Me with food. Stop. Oh. Yeah.
Help me, help me.
No, please don't send me more food, people.
You said that so sincerely. Like, you just said that so sincerely, Brian.
Stop. Help.
Stop.
Please.
Stop. Don't feed me the sandwich. No. Yeah. But, Brian, let's get to the political news that broke last night from WKOW.
Oh, the BS sandwich. Very good.
The one of those times where, you know, Republicans are... They, what is it, the Shakespearean line? He... protest too much or
whatever. Lady Death protest too much.
Too much. Thank you. See, I needed my classically trained in the Shakespearean to share that. Because we heard ads throughout this political cycle so far of Democratic challenger to U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, his Democratic challenger, Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, has been hit with political ads talking about how he was late on property taxes, delinquent, and referring to when he was running for Lieutenant Governor, he was late on his property taxes. He caught up on them and got good with the state of Wisconsin, as Wisconsinites tend to do from time to time. Even some congressional candidates, and we'll get into that in a little bit when we go down a tangent then. But you would think that if the race you are running, the opponent that you have is getting hit for those ads, that you wouldn't run ads like that if, say, you just haven't been paying Wisconsin taxes since 2016, Brian. Don't you think?
What? That sounds interesting. It seems like doing things like, you know, let's say you were asked by a certain lawyer to hand over false electors to the vice president, and then that was an issue, right? And people had an issue with that. And then you hire that person for $20,000 a month later. These are the type of decisions that Ron Johnson has made.
Yeah. And this is also
let's go full bore on the whole property taxes thing. Oh, I didn't pay my own state taxes.
State income taxes have disappeared, because this is the headline over at WKOW written up by AJ Bayatpour. The headline, from six-figure tax bills to $0. Why trust funds set up by Senator Ron Johnson no longer owes state taxes. Pretty convenient. Pretty nice if you can have allies in the government, Brian, pass a tax cut that you can then go apply for that reduces your tax bill to $0. Because
the irony is a little rich here these days.
The former speaker has that absolutely correct, Brian. The irony is a little rich. And let's go down into the piece, because I think this is one of those where it's almost hard not to go down a tangent on this story, Brian, because there's so many different upsetting aspects and there's a lot of different moving parts and pieces of Wisconsin political history that you have to understand to be fully as upset about this piece as I think some of us may be.
Oh, let us take us down the agonizing road.
So let's go down
the one with
road.
Spikes and Mordor.
Spikes. One does not simply walk into Mordor. No.
Let's limp along, my friend.
Let's get there, Brian. So this is the piece. State records show a trust fund started by Republican Senator Ron Johnson hasn't paid any Wisconsin taxes since 2016. Before then, the fund paid hundreds of thousands of dollars each year in state taxes.
Huh, you don't say.
With Wisconsin voters labeling the economy a top issue ahead of what projects to be a tightly contested statewide election between Johnson and his Democratic challenger, Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, the two parties see the vanished tax liabilities very differently. Democrats argue that state tax credit allowing the trust fund, which Johnson set up for his three children, to save millions of dollars in recent years is another sign of a system skewed towards the wealthy. Republicans maintain the Johnson family's tax savings are irrelevant to the midterm campaign because he did nothing illegal. Nothing illegal. So it's irrelevant. As long as you don't break the law, Brian, according to the Republicans contributing to this story.
Okay, so
not relevant.
All right, so Mandela Barnes, did he break the law?
No.
Okay, so I guess it's irrelevant. Sounds good. Let's move on. We should just stop those attack ads then.
Well, you would expect those attack ads to drop if that was the stance of the campaign, but those third-party issues groups, they can just keep running them, Brian, because they're not working in concert with the campaign. Of course not. That would be illegal. That you can't do, even with the very weakened campaign finance laws we have here in the state of Wisconsin. But that's a tangent for another day.
Uh-huh.
Because this one is talking about how the manufacturer and agriculture tax credit, Brian. The tax credit that has cost Wisconsin taxpayers $1.6 billion over its first 9 years being implemented.
Yeah, that's I hear about that.
That tax credit is how Senator Ron Johnson has his trust fund through the manufacturing and agriculture tax credit, you can have a trust fund apply for this tax credit, create no jobs, create not secure any existing jobs.
But they managed to label themselves agribusiness or manufacturers, right?
But cost Wisconsin taxpayers $1.6 billion in revenue.
Okay.
That is $1.6 billion that is not paid out to our public schools.
You got to understand.
They're not going to our local law enforcement agencies, Brian.
You got to understand these people are trickling it down into the economy. These are the job creators.
And
just like Johnson's Trust Fund that created how many jobs again?
Zero.
Oh, yeah.
Zero.
I mean, they have to have at least an accountant or 12.
I don't know if that created that accountant's job, though. I don't know if they have solely one accountant for
but
that.
But they are the job creators, not the ones who profit off of the labor of others. The job creators.
That's what they say, Brian.
Yeah, but they need that money to hold on to for holding on to.
It's an interesting dynamic that you say, because reading on in the piece, for his part, Johnson has never been bashful about his support for tax cuts or his disagreement with the idea they unfairly favor the rich. Quote, if you cut taxes for everybody, everybody gets a tax break, Johnson told WKOW 27 in April.
Yeah, but
April.
He didn't cut the taxes for everybody.
And people that make more money get more dollars cut.
He cut the taxes
for
specific
people. But that's
our tax
system.
He cut the taxes for specific people, not everybody.
You're telling me that you didn't get your application in for the manufacturers and agriculture tax credit, Brian?
I'm a manufacturer. I create some damn awesome content every day.
We need to figure out how Dueling Tangents can apply for this tax credit.
This entire network is a freaking content factory. We manufacture stuff every day. We are a manufacturer.
Well, we're gonna have to hire
every damn day, and we are out there.
We're gonna have to hire
taking
an attorney
ass,
or
names.
A,
we're
an
not
accountant.
Even taking names. We can't even remember half.
No, we can't.
It's
we
fine.
Can't. But it is
I don't
Dueling
even know my
Tangents.
Own name or what day it is. But I do know
it's Tuesday.
October.
It is October. It's a Tuesday in October. It's the final Tuesday of October, Brian. 2 weeks away from Election Day.
I'm 30 seconds away from eating a sandwich. Do you know that?
Yes, I do know that. And we're going to discombobulate a little bit because with it being 2 weeks away, Dan Schaefer is going to join us. Of the column named the Recombobulation Area, we're a little discombobulated 2 weeks out from Election Day, and we're going to get into that with Dan. 844-967-2789. Dueling Tangents will also take your calls and texts. We'll be right back. Brian's going to go feast.
I'm going to need to recombobulate out of this sandwich.
Ron.
Johnson is right.
Ron.
Johnson's right about
Ron.
Johnson's being right.
Ron.
Johnson is right.
I don't feel like my time here has been particularly successful.
I just got a bunch of energy here from this wonderful dish, and I am now dancing in my seat because of this wonderful sandwich made by Joel Clayfish. Found some wild goose.
I hear tasty cook, and Dan is looking amazed. And
God.
Dan, you're gonna have to hear this tangent. I guess
this is amazing. You guys talk amongst yourselves. This is amazing.
I'm understanding the name of this show more now that Brian. Now that I've been on a couple episodes of Brian.
What do you mean?
It makes so much more sense, right? I just try to fill the airwaves with headlines when it's just by myself, because it's weird if I spout off on a bunch of tangents alone. That would just be kind of strange. It takes both of us to be able to fully appreciate the tangent ability that we bring to this hour on Civic
Media.
The
full scope of the Dueling Tangents has been on full display in my last couple spots with you all. But I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying it.
I try and bring it full circle. We're like he's like the pole that I wrap my ridiculousness around.
That's a terrible metaphor, and I don't like it one bit.
No, I had like three of them, and it just came around, and like all of them came out of the bat. I'm going to finish this sandwich.
I'm going to blame this entire situation on Kristen Bry, because she decided to give Brian a sandwich as he entered the production booth from Joel Clayfish, who was on Kristen's show earlier today. If you want to check out that content, you can go to civicmedia.us, check out all the podcasts. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry is on there, and you can also find Dueling Tangents podcast there. But Dan, we're now joined by you of the Recombobulation Area. How are you doing this afternoon?
Yes, hello. I'm doing well.
Good.
How are you?
14 days left to go. between now and the election. And you had an interesting piece out because you decided to jump away from the standard recombobulating. And over the weekend, you shared all of the discombobulation there is here in the state of Wisconsin, with there being now 14 days left before Election Day. Can you share us a little bit about the discombobulation and a little bit of the background on that one?
Yeah, so I used to write these more often. Maybe I used to be a little bit more discombobulated in my writing. But I, you know, I think we're all at the point of the campaign where everybody is a little bit scattered. Everybody's a little bit wiped out. And there's just so much news to try to get to. So instead of writing one longer piece on one topic, I wrote one longer piece on 13 different topics. And so, you know, that ranged for, I wrote a lot about the governor's race in that piece. A few things about the Senate race, a few things about Barack Obama coming to town. And so there's just a lot happening. I also included a video of the of one of the Republican state Senate candidates trying to walk to the Capitol on January 6th.
And naming Derek Van Orden, who is a congressional candidate.
Derek Van Orden, who was on the grounds. Yeah.
Yes. So I didn't feel discombobulated until I saw all 13 of the aspects together. And not to say I didn't feel discombobulated. I think I do feel that very much every day. But I didn't know the extent of my discombobulation, Dan, until you had to go point it out. So thank you very much, because it's just one of those, it's adding to the dread over the next 14 days. There's so much to keep an eye on. Well, one of the things that didn't make it into the piece, we found out last night, that Ron Johnson's just been taking a advantage of a very lucrative Republican passed tax cut and not paying any state taxes on his family's trust fund that is contributing to Wisconsinites missing out on $1.6 billion of tax revenue since 2016 is when Johnson took advantage of it, but it's been implemented since 2011 by former Governor Scott Walker. Does this only add to your discombobulation, or is it kind of like 13 lefts and then this one right makes it whole? Are we recombobulated?
This is an expected thing for Ron Johnson, along the lines of, you know, just his overall approach to, you know, getting what he wants from the taxpayers. And I think the story really underscored what I think is kind of low-key a big deal in Wisconsin, which is that agriculture and manufacturing tax credit, which is written in such a vague way that you can deduct your trust fund from it. So,
But tax Ron cuts Johnson, help
things,
all.
Things get easier for Ron Johnson. Things get more difficult for the working class in Wisconsin. That's how it goes.
The senator says that tax cuts benefit everybody. Just because the rich make more money doesn't mean that we should not cut taxes. Everybody's making out like bandits off of this. Come on, Dan.
Listen, is there any concrete proof that the agribusiness, that this tax credit has actually worked in any way, shape, or form? I do know that
there's actually the opposite. Yeah.
I do know that Wisconsin loses about, I don't know, up to a grand in family farms every year, maybe like 700 or so when I was last looking at it, right? Like, this just doesn't help anybody. How does... We're never going to get it.
This is an interesting point, though, that I'm forgetting the group that has done a lot of research on this particular issue. But Foxconn at least had some sort of measure of, like, you have to do a thing to receive the tax credits. The agriculture and manufacturing tax credit is basically just like, if you're a manufacturer, you don't have to pay taxes.
But not even if you're a manufacturer. If
you don't have to create jobs, you just have to be based in Wisconsin. So, and they also haven't like broken this down ever by company to see like how much we're giving. Say, for example, Uline.
Or ABC Supply.
Whose owners are the main donors for Ron Johnson and Republicans across Wisconsin.
Right. So. We have seen that the... This tax credit specifically, the manufacturing and agriculture tax credit, has overwhelmingly gone to millionaires. It is millionaire tax filers in the state of Wisconsin that are applying and receiving this tax credit, and apparently a trust fund can go and receive it as well. It doesn't even have to be a manufacturer or an agribusiness. It can be Ron Johnson's family trust fund. And do you think, we only got about a minute here left before this break, do you think it's just too wonky, Dan? Do you think this is why it's not getting talked about? during an election cycle?
It's just part of the larger narrative on Ron Johnson and tax cuts. It benefits him and his wealthy donors and not the rest of Wisconsin.
How about this? How can we do this? How can every single taxpayer do this and figure out how to go and make it so that too many poor people benefit from it? That's the only way this is going to get repealed. Does everybody have to file as an
advocate? We're not going to see if we can necessarily change the system that way, Brian. There's other ways
CPAs
to change the system.
CPAs everywhere. Let's do it.
We're going to be continuing the conversation with Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area. Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. We'll be back after a quick break. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. As Brian alluded to yesterday, he likes the long intros on some segments. And
I'm a sucker for long intros.
You are.
I don't know.
You like to set it up a little bit, and that's okay.
Plus, I got to mix a little bit of Yellowbeard and Madonna. That's always fun. So that's good.
You're having fun, big guy. That's the important thing.
Well, that's the thing, is that gerrymandering pushes our love over the borderline.
Well, yeah, when you're discombobulated, you need to find things like your love for long intros to hold on to and keep you sane throughout the 14 days we have remaining between now and Election Day here in the state of Wisconsin. Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke. He's Brian. We are joined by Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area. And Dan, have you made a plan to vote? Are you voting early, in person, absentee, or are you an Election Day voter?
I'm gonna be voting early, absentee. Early voting started today in Wisconsin, a bunch of spots in Milwaukee that we can go to vote. I'm going to vote tomorrow morning.
All right.
So there you go. To my local library, the Washington Park Library, and cast my ballot.
There you go. And not the Pfizer Forum. That's a pretty cool spot to vote early now.
That would be pretty cool, but I've been voting at the Washington Park Library for a while now, and I want to stick with that.
There you
it's
go.
Tradition.
There you know? Go.
I love our libraries in Milwaukee. Big library guy.
Nice. And, well, it's important to support the libraries. We walked the dog Sunday evening and grabbed my fiance grabbed her latest library read. She is the library connoisseur. I do not have as much time to do free reading as she does, so she likes to frequent the library often. And so we like to walk the dog over there, and then she grabs a book or two, and then we walk back. And it's very important to support our local libraries, so it's awesome to hear you got a plan to take advantage of the early in-person absentee voting that is underway now in the state of Wisconsin. And so that's the big news of today. That is the most important thing, I think, that anybody listening out there in the audience can take advantage of. You can vote in person. Go to myvote.wi.gov to learn more about your in-person absentee voting locations through your local clerks.
And don't leave those things to chance. You never know what's going to happen on election day. You might miss your bus or have somebody calls you for a double shift or something like that. Like, you don't want to take these things to chance. You want to make sure you get that vote in, you get it counted.
See, I like to vote on election day, but you're making a very, very good argument for me to go and do it early. So
then you can help others vote on election day.
That's true. While your employer does have to allow for you to go and vote on election day, they also really appreciate it if you make a plan beforehand to do so.
Yes, and everybody across the state can take advantage of that early voting that has begun today. One of the other important things I think that I've saw today, and because you, Dan, on Twitter shared this one out, and is a story over at Mother Jones, written up by Ari Berman. And the piece is talking about kind of a theme that Brian and I talk about pretty frequently here on this show, how Wisconsin's the center of the political universe, and it's a very good piece that just goes through talking about how Republicans have used this state as a breeding ground for what they've tried to do around the country then. And the headline of the piece is how Wisconsin became the GOP's laboratory for dismantling democracy.
Made me sad. It made me very sad.
It's a very sad piece to read. And so, Dan, Can you share it with the folks? Why do you believe this is the most important piece that some people can be out there reading today, even when they've got an excellent column like the Recombobulation Area that they can go and read from?
Yeah, I think this Ari Berman is maybe the foremost voting rights reporter in the country. And he has written a lot about Wisconsin over the years because we have been in the spotlight, at the center of the political universe, on issues like this one, on it's central to democracy. And I think what he outlines here in the gerrymandering that's at play in the state, in the voter suppression efforts that are at play in the state, and the power consolidation that we're seeing from Wisconsin Republicans, I think it really underlines what has become kind of a cliche, but it has never more been true that democracy is on the ballot right now. Because if things go a certain way in this election, we're staring at a very uncertain future for democracy in Wisconsin. And if you don't have democracy to be able to solve problems, probably not going to be able to solve those problems. So I think, I think this speaks to just some of the underlying structural issues that are really been crumbling over the past 12 years and are really in focus right now. Because all of the efforts that Wisconsin Republicans have done to undermine democracy over the past decade plus are coming to a head right now. And we absolutely need to preserve democracy in this state. And it's really hanging by a thread. It's just a handful of races in the state legislature, along with the races at the top of the ticket for governor and AG.
Yeah.
I wanted to tie in your article in the Recombobulation Area with this, because number 8 says, is a vote for Tim Michaels really a vote for the Robin Voss agenda? And the way that this article lines it out over the last 10 years is basically, if you get all Republican, a veto-proof majority, or Tim Michaels as governor, essentially Robin Voss is the most powerful person in the state and he's the governor. Is that basically what we're looking at here?
Yeah, and I think we've seen what Robin Voss can do with a regular majority. I really don't think we want to know what he can do with a supermajority. I think one of the quotes in the piece was that Robin Voss saying at a I believe it was at the state convention this year, was that if they get 5 more assembly seats, then it won't matter if Tony Evers is governor. They can make him irrelevant by having the veto-proof supermajority. So even if Evers were to get reelected, there's a handful of these assembly seats, kind of sick. It's really down to like 6 or 7 competitive seats that could determine whether there's going to be a supermajority. And that would put Robin Voss, who is deeply unpopular in the state of Wisconsin, it would put him in the driver's seat for the agenda of the state. And I think that is a frightening prospect.
Yeah, and it would be even like Robin Voss is elected by a couple of thousand voters in the Mount Pleasant, Burlington area. And that is not how a democracy works. You do not have the most powerful individual coming from a super gerrymandered district in the one corner of the state. And regardless of how Republicans will try to spin it, of all this was all the fair and process, it's all by the book, Supreme Court okayed it, these maps are okay. We have seen an erosion of democracy here in Wisconsin for more than a decade now. And it is, I believe that you're correct. It is become all too much of a cliche to hear that democracy is on the ballot, that this is the most important election of your lifetime. All of those sayings that do get tossed around probably all too frequently in the past, but this one 14 days from now is going to have ramifications well beyond November. And who leads the state, whether that's split government with the re-election of Tony Evers and not a supermajority in the legislature, or a unified Republican control of the state, is going to lead the state down to drastically different paths. And we will see things like potentially a flat tax. We will see things like the continuation of a 173-year-old law that outlaws abortion in the state. We won't see the expansion of Medicare and Medicaid with Badger Care. We will not see the legalization of marijuana. There are so many things that do hinge. And unfortunately, it gets tossed all together. Democracy is not a sexy issue, Dan. It's not something that people are going to the polls specifically for. But when you can go and outline all of those different issues, people are fired up about a lot of those issues. And do you think that how do you think these next 2 weeks are going to go? Because we're seeing just this week, CNN showing it is razor thin. 50% for Evers, 49%, or 50% for Evers, 48% for Michaels, 50% for Johnson, 49% for Barnes. You can't get closer than that. That is a coin toss, essentially, coming down for both of the top of the ticket races. Where do you see? I know we've looked at plenty of polls before, but we're 2 weeks out. Where are your thoughts for the top of the ticket races?
Yeah, I think it just underscores the point that you made earlier about Wisconsin. This is why Wisconsin is at the center of the political universe, because so many of our races are decided by these minuscule margins. And I think either race could go either way. I think there's been so much narrative, and particularly in the Barnes race, about the attack ads that he's weathered and all that, but he's still in striking distance. He might not be the favorite. He might not be leading in the polls. He's absolutely in striking distance, and it's going to come down to turnout. Like, again, going to the cliches. But I think in Milwaukee, where there was some enthusiasm over an early voting event that was going around social media at MATC today. You know, if Milwaukee turns out in this election, that could be huge. And I think we've got an event to point to later this weekend that could, you know, be a galvanizing force for turnout in Milwaukee, and that is Barack Obama coming to town. And no, this was one of my points in my discombobulated column.
We just keep getting back to it. You got excellent tangents to return to your piece.
That's right. And so I think the statistic I always come back to with Obama's impact in Milwaukee is that for almost everywhere, his high watermark for turnout was in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
But in Milwaukee, he actually had better turnout in the city of Milwaukee in 2012 than 2008. And so I think that really goes to show what type of an impact that he has on voters in the city of Milwaukee. You know, turnout has fluctuated in the years since when he's not been on the ballot. You know, it dropped more from 2012 to 2016 in Milwaukee than anywhere else in the state.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the more we see these efforts to get out the vote in the city of Milwaukee, you know, we haven't had a top of the ticket candidate from the city in a decade. Mandela Barnes being from the city of Milwaukee. You know, the last time there was a statewide candidate from Milwaukee, I think, was Tom Barrett 10 years ago. So I think, you know, turnout in cities like this is going to make a huge difference. And Obama coming to town is a big thing.
See, and you return it for the housekeeping purposes as well for us here at Civic Media, because we will be there on location, and we're going to broadcast as much of that event that we can to you across the Civic Media network. You're going to want to stay tuned for special event coverage when former President Barack Obama comes to Milwaukee this Saturday, October 29th. You will get more details as we have them to share, but it's going to be sometime that afternoon, and we're looking forward to being able to broadcast that event to our listening audience. And I think you're right, that could be a very important, but it's not just Obama that's coming to town. We've got Bernie Sanders on slate. I believe I saw something with a press release that Senator Warren, Elizabeth Warren, is coming to town. There's going to be a lot of big names between now and 2 weeks from today that will come to try to ramp up turnout. We teased the Pfizer Forum, and point 12 on the discombobulation list as well is the Milwaukee Bucks season that has kicked off since you and I spoke last, Dan. Taking it away from the politics for a little bit, do you think they got a chance to go 80 in a row and make it a perfect 82? We're on track.
They're on pace for an undefeated season. 2-0 to start the season. Giannis dropping 44 the other night at the home opener. I mean, good things are happening. If you're down about the Packers, which I couldn't blame you, jump on the Bucks bandwagon. Never been a better time.
Yeah, no, it's an excellent time for that. And how can listeners find a little bit more about the recombobulation area? We got about a minute until this next break. Where can they go to find more?
You can find me on Substack, where I publish the weekly, probably more than weekly, column nowadays at recombobulationarea.substack.com. And you can, of course, find me on Twitter at Dan R. Schaefer.
And you're going to want to go be a paid subscriber to the Recombobulation Area, because local journalism like Dan's is vital to be staying in tune with what's going around Milwaukee, around Wisconsin, and leads to all these important articles like the 13 points of discombobulation that we are currently facing right now. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke, big guy over there. That's Brian, that excellent mustache. I don't think I've complimented it yet this week.
Thanks, man. I grew it myself. I'm going to be Hopper for my daughter. My daughter's going to play 11, and I'm going to be Hopper. It's going to be awesome.
There you go. Look at that. That's some legwork putting in for the Halloween costume. Folks, we got one more segment left in the day with Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area. Maybe your phone calls, 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Phil Collins Hour.
But you haven't played any Phil Collins the rest of the hour.
Listen, they don't know that. And they're not going to fact check it, because nobody cares about facts anymore. That's the important part of this whole thing.
Post-fact society. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke, he's Brian, and we are joined by Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area. And Dan, one of the last things we wanted to discuss was a couple of the points on the discombobulation article were about the governor's race. But before we jump into talking about that, let's head over to the phone lines. We got a couple of callers calling from the very crucial Waukesha County, which may help decide the statewide elections this November. So let's head over to the phone lines. We got Andrew in Waukesha calling in. Andrew, what's on your mind this afternoon?
Well, I wanted to get your guests' thoughts on reapportionment. Now, I've been hearing about gerrymandering and how unfair the legislative districts are for a long time, but nobody ever talks about how we haven't increased the number of assembly persons since 1973. And actually, I should say we haven't changed, because in 1973, we went from 100 to 99. It has been a long time. And right now, we have about 60,000 people per assembly district on average over the state history. It's been 25,000. So how come that debate isn't being had?
Do you believe that the current amount, the ratio of state representatives to residents in their districts is not adequate, or what's your take on it, Andrew?
Absolutely. In fact, you know, 60,000 is way too much. That was the same amount of people per federal congressional districts when our country was founded, you know.
But we're now a country of issue. We're now a country of 330 million, and we're a state with we're north of 5 million residents in the state of Wisconsin, Andrew. Do you believe you got to have...
We also live in the future with supercomputers in our pockets. So what's your point? The only reason they don't want to add more seats in the Capitol in Washington, D.C. is because they don't want to have the construction going on.
I mean, they don't even have offices in the actual Capitol building itself. They have 6 office buildings outside of the Capitol. They could add more congressional seats at the U.S. Capitol tomorrow if they really wanted to, but they would just have to find the office space nearby. I don't believe that that's necessarily as a crucial aspect of how many residents are represented by the specific legislators, but I believe it's more important on how and who gets to draw those lines. I don't believe that politicians in back rooms with gag orders should be drawing the lines, determining who their voters are with pinpoint precision using those supercomputers that you referenced, Andrew. I would think it would be more important for the areas of the state that grew to actually be able to see that political representation grow with them. Dane County was responsible for about, if I believe correctly from the census, 50,000 new residents over the last 10 years. And we didn't get any additional representation in the legislature. We got the same amount of seats.
Yeah, but to be fair, and I want to quote from this Mother Jones article by Ari Berman we've been talking about, and this is from Robin Voss. If you took Madison and Milwaukee out of the state election formula, we would have a clear majority. The most representative branch of government and the closest to the people of Wisconsin. You see, if you just take out,
we'd also have the economy of what we would drop. Dan, Andrew wanted to hear your take on this one. Let's hear it.
Okay, so I think it's an interesting point to raise, but I think it is. It should be, you know, any added seats or anything like that should be part of a larger conversation about better representing the people of Wisconsin and getting more actual democracy in this state. I think there are a number of structural reforms that people have talked about over the years about trying to better reflect the people of Wisconsin. So whether that's adding seats, whether that's multi-member districts, whether that's, I don't know, requiring our full-time legislature to actually work full-time. So I think there's a number of different reforms that you could bring to this, but I think, you know, not to be the total downer here, but to be able to enact any of these reforms, we need to claw back from where we've been, where Republicans have pushed the state over the past decade plus, and limiting, you know, the direct democracy in the state. And so I think, you know, whether it's adding seats, whether it's referendums, whether it's, you know, multi-member districts, whether it's, all, you know, expanding voting rights, we do need structural reform. And I think whatever point you might raise, it should be part of that conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for your call, Andrew. We appreciate it. We've also got Connie calling from the Shaw. Connie, what's on your mind this afternoon?
Hey, mustachioed cop and and partner. Hey, I just got back from early voting in the city of Waukesha, and I am pleased to say that there were quite a few people there early voting. I've never actually seen anything like it. We have new voting machines. And normally when I've gone into early vote, I'm usually the only one at the counter. They've got it set up really nicely. And there were quite a few people in there early voting. So that was really nice to see.
Awesome. Well, we appreciate that update. And was it at one of the fine libraries in Waukesha?
Early voting in the city of Waukesha is at City Hall. And they've actually got the media camped out right now. I'm not sure what media, but yeah, covering the early voting.
Well, as Brian and I like to say, all eyes are on Wisconsin because we are the center of the political universe from now until Election Day, 14 days from now. And we appreciate your call, Connie. Thanks for the update from the Shaw. You as well, Andrew. Brian, one of the things you and I have joked about, and I gave credit for to Dan when we first brought it up, is one of the other points in the 13 discombobulating points from Dan's article is the Bobby Newportification in the governor's race. And now we don't have a whole...
I'm against crime, and I'm not ashamed to admit it.
There you go. Let's give it the top-down vision, though, with the few moments that we have left together on the show. Dan, can you share... How did you come up with that thought? What was it that brought the Bobby Newport and the Tim Michaels reference together for you?
It was watching the debate. It was watching Tim Michaels stumble through that debate and have all these great questions about specifics about what we could do with the state. And Tony Evers is getting into the details and talking about shared revenue and like all these different plans. And Tim Michaels is just saying things like, the world will be better if you elect me. And it's just a really rough scene. And it's just, he seems like Paul Rudd's parody character from Parks and Recreation.
It's absolutely a perfect comparison. I don't think that there's any other better way to sum it up, to be honest. He's a little fuzzy on the details. This is the nicest way that you could say it. It's fuzzy on the details.
I'd love to see Tony Evers run on how many roads he constructed, and then Michaels can say, oh, I built those roads, and how much did you profit by those? Oh, how will that be changed when you're governor? Oh, wait, you don't have any details.
No details on how to divest or disinvest or whatever the word would be.
Divest.
He's not going to do it because he would have already had to begin doing it.
That's a vest with two stripes, right? Divest.
Folks, you've been listening to Dueling Tangents. If you missed any portion of the show, go check out the podcast. Thank you very much, Dan. Check out Dan at the Recombobulation area. We'll be back tomorrow at 2. Talk to you then.